Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 5. The Fellowship of the Mystery. The Depths. Scriptures. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Ephesians 3:8-15. And he will say, Cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit would faint before me, and the souls that I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid my face, and was wroth, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith Jehovah, and I will heal him. Isaiah 57:14-19, American Standard Version. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man of God told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel, and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers, and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also, and every side of all the camp. And they say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethsheba in Zarephath, to the border of Abel-Meholah and Tabath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher, and out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. Judges 7:13-23. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. 1 Peter 5, 6-11. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Revelation 11:3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Philippians 3:7-11. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1:17-24. End Scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld the Lord in the heights of the heavens, pulling upwards unto himself the souls of men and women who had humbled themselves in the dealings of the Lord and had contrition in their earthly condition. These were saints who held to the high calling of God upon the earth, but at the same time were saints who had no reputation upon the earth. They were hidden men and women of God, not seen publicly or by the seeing of the eyes of the nations, as circumstances and testings in their lives had taken them out of the open view of others. these were suffering saints, saints which knew no great stance in the world of man, nor in the kingdoms that man had created. But these saints held to the high calling of the Lord to overcome and be as Jesus was in perfect humility, while the Lord processed their lives. The Lord saw these and drew upwards their souls, as though he were pulling up cords of rope unto himself. The souls of these who were thus humbled were actually drawn up unto the Lord in the height of heaven to abide with him there forever. Yet in their minds, these saints were filled with the anxiety of their condition in the world and the fact that they were dwelling in constrained places. So it is for the overcomers in this time. They hold no place higher than the Lord ordains for them in this world. For some, it is authority that they hold, but in their hearts they know they belong to the Lord. For others, it is humbling circumstances. In either case, their testings are all from the Lord to prepare them to ascend into the seated position in the heavens drawn up by the Lord himself. End vision. Second vision. I saw the back of Jesus walking in his time, the garment that was simple and as if it were made of rough linen. He walked amongst the simple of his day, those who were just fishermen or carpenters or day-to-day laborers in the fields. He walked not with those who were high in the world, but with those who were humble in the world and who were fixed in humiliating circumstances. But it was with those that Christ appeared and walked and talked and communed, and their fellowship had a depth that is not known normally in the world of men. End vision. End two visions. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Speaking now to those who would obey the Lord in all things, and be counted as ones who were found faithful, those who overcame and will be brought up again from the dead in the first resurrection. To you now the word of the Lord comes to open further to your understanding the fellowship of the mystery, the power that comes from God through the preaching of the cross, is this mystery, even the deep calling unto the deep in one's soul. It is the power of salvation, but accompanying that salvation is this depth in the Lord which I speak of. For the high things of the Lord and of his kingdom can only come unto those by which the cross has first worked. I speak of the cross as a work of the Spirit of truth, and not as the common element of the pressures related to this hour. For there is a cross, an identity with the living Christ, that can come by no other means than by the Spirit of truth working in a person's life. The power of this cross is a continual working until the time of your personal restitution, the completion of your course of faith, and the resurrection that comes because of that completed working of the Lord. In our day for the overcomer, the cross is working as it has worked in all times past, simply canceling out any love for the world. This cross works by the Spirit of truth in us when we yield to the Lord and allow his will to overtake us. The first thing that the Lord does in us when we become candidates for the first resurrection is he begins to draw, brackets, drag, us away from all other things, from anyone else, from everything that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. At the first, this drawing comes through the gamut of being guided and groomed by people who may be part of the denominational structure. But it is not long before that bed is quickly outgrown. The drawing of the Lord is an unexplainable phenomenon which cannot be explained to anyone who would claim pastorate over your life. Instead of the overcomer candidate submitting long to some pastorate or ministry in a denominational structure, the overcomer breaks free of that bond, sets their footsteps into a walk of indeterminate and unstructured, a walk that the masses of Christendom condemn as futile because the overcomer left their covering. In essence, the overcomer has not left their covering, but has come into their covering. They came away from man's ministry and came unto the Lord's covering alone. It may take a while, but the lesson is soon learned that the Lord is all one needs to find communion and fellowship in that sideways fellowship, even with other overcomers. This is not as precious as it is with the Lord himself. In the fellowship of the mystery, the overcomer does not fit the pattern or mold that is created by the massive influx of denominational standards that the world is rife and full of. They stand dejected outside these camps, uncovered by the masses of men, and unknown by those who love to cover themselves with words of preachers rather than the spirit of truth. The masses of Christendom who do not know the fellowship of the mystery do not know it because they have forsaken the cross. Look about your life, dear reader, in the assemblies set up, either in the church on the corner, or a TV evangelism program, or an online ministry. You will see every kind of word going forth, every kind of prophecy proclaimed, every kind of escapism doctrine invented, every kind of proclamation as to the truth and witness and confirmation of the Lord upon their particular calling and ministry. Men come out with such powerful gifts and callings. Waving their jackets, they cause masses of people to fall down slain under the power of what they term the Spirit. These masses, found in Christendom circles, are gathering speed and force and power day by day. Their numbers are growing exponentially, and with much gusto, they claim prosperity and deliverance and healing, with nothing else mixed in other than the recipient to acknowledge these as their covering in present tense ministry. In all this, from every corner of the earth, the Lord is not in it, and neither is the preaching of the cross. Let me say that again. In all this, from every corner of the earth, the Lord is not in it, and neither is the preaching of the cross. Hence, there is no power of God. It is absolutely impossible to experience even one morsel of the fellowship of the mystery without the cross working at the very same time in your life. The communion I speak of is this mystery, and this mystery is the depth of the communion with the Lord that no one else around you may perceive. A depth in your soul of the deep calling unto the deep, and the identity becoming exactly as Jesus was in a perfect humility. For the working of this mystery is openly revealed unto those who abandon themselves unto the Lord in complete abasement. No one around, not a spouse or parent or child you associate with, can even understand or have revealed unto them this depth of communion that you are experiencing with the Lord. For the fellowship of the mystery is first, you and the Lord in you. Secondly, you with those who confirm this because they are in the same condition. True brethren who know this depth in the Lord that is unknown by the rest of humanity and Christendom, the deep calling unto the deep in your soul is none other than the Lord communing with you in the core of your very heart, the place where the foundation of his great city lays, even the life of the person of Jesus, who is living and abiding in you forever. That is the depth of the calling and the ministry whereof I speak. The cross has to work in us more than ever in this late hour for two specific reasons. First of all, because we are near the end of all things. The temptations and pressures of the day will increase more and more. The shakings in the earth, the perils of answers never found for the conditions found in the earth, the relegation of fear in every part of the world over things that are out of control. In the midst of all this, the overcomer must be unable to move because their hands and their feet are impaled with nails. The overcomer must be confined outside the efforts of governments and kingdoms, of economies and protocols. The overcomer must be a stinking corpse before any political affiliation, any economic strategy, any effort of man to control and stop the shakings. Those men who work by the counsel of carnal minds can never know that the overcomer stands in the midst of their efforts as crucified, ones bearing the marks of the cross, a repulsive people, ones outside the fellowship of religious effort and political ambitions. The overcomer cannot be astride these things. Instead, the overcomer must die in the midst of this present technological glittering world. They must identify fully with nothing in this world, with nothing that tunes up their lives with the immoral standards that are gaining ground as men continue to build in a world destined to collapse. To this world and this time, the overcomer must die. That brings us to the second reason for the continual working of the cross. And it is to this world, in this time, that this death will also be turned by the Spirit of Truth into a depth of communion that mankind knows nothing of. Dying to all that is here now, but being found in communion undividable with the Lord within their very spirit, broken and humbled, killed off by modern society, they stand upon their feet in resurrection power and are caught up even unto the very throne of God. As sheep before their shearers are dumb, so they open not their mouths against those who work the act of cutting off their life of flesh. Just as the exact image of the Prince of Glory, who laid his glory aside and bore the weight of the crossbeam, so too the overcomer enters that same grace. And it is in this act of defiance, during this present time in this modern world, that a depth of fellowship with the Lamb of God is quickly discovered. While the nails are doing their worst, and while the flesh is cringing at the numbness of death, taking apart their very structured lives, it is in this that the fellowship of the mystery is realized. In this, the communion with Jesus finally becomes a reality, more precious than anything in the world you are dying to. Lay your life down in sackcloth and ashes. Be as Job, who identified with the Lord when he found himself in the throes of testing that was unlike anything he had experienced before. Suffer the loss of standing, of reputation, of glitz and glamour, of power and glory and gifts and callings, of supposed anointed preaching, which gives money rather than glory and wealth, rather than the true riches. Suffer the loss of all these things. Count them but dung, for this is the true race, the greater of present suffering of humanity. the greater the blessing of resurrection power. Count them but dung, for this is the true race. The greater the present suffering of humanity, the greater the blessing of resurrection power. Your earthen vessel shattered, but out of it shines the light of the world. The overcomer has and is of no reputation in this present world. They know nothing and are known as nothing. As rotten corpses, they stand in the midst of the world as testaments to worldly futility. As rotten corpses, they stand before Christendom as those who are to be despised. The world hates the overcomer. Christendom hates the overcomer. And believing it to be true, the world and Christendom kills the overcomer by casting them out as useless and as profane. Being thus judged by man, the overcomer falls under the weight of the cross. But dear one cast aside and rejected, it is in you that Jesus will first appear. It is in you that he will arise in the first resurrection, and your communion in the fellowship of the mystery will then be complete, and the Lord himself will grant you the right to sit with him upon his eternal throne as you rise into the very heavens. That is the place of this mystery, and that is your calling, dear reader of these pages. It is surely going to happen. And you will see this and rejoice, for your testings and death will be at an end. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.